you guys doing tonight? Maybe we could get these down a little bit, and maybe some side lights up a little bit. That would be great. I'd like to be able to see if I stand back here. How's that? Can you guys see me okay? No? Yes? Okay. All right. Is this thing on? My voice is going out, so you'll have to forgive me. I might sound like I'm a little raspy, but those guys are awesome, aren't they? Let's give them one more hand. Always blessed to talk to him. I've talked to him on the phone many times, and just every time I even speak with one of those guys, it's just a blessing. And I always get off the phone feeling better than when I'd gotten on the phone. And it's cool. That's how the Lord would have us to be like that with people, a blessing, you know. I was talking with my middle son, Nathan, about a month ago. Some of you know him. He's 3 years old. So cute. And I asked him this question: Nathan, what do you want to be when you grow up? Without batting an eye, and his answer was, when I grow up, I want to be an Easter egg hunter, cracker farmer, cowboy, man guy. Isn't that great? I mean, you can never create something. You know, you can never come up with saying something. So thinking it was a fluke that he somehow had just thrown all these words together, I asked him the same question again, you know. Nathan, what do you want to be when you grow up to be big like daddy? You know what I'm talking about. He goes, I want to be an Easter egg hunter, cracker farmer, cowboy, man guy. Word for word, the same thing. So I promptly wrote it down, seeing as I'd never heard of such an occupation. I showed it to my wife, and she too actually re-asked the same question the next morning of little Nathan. His reply? Exactly the same. He knows exactly what he wants to be when he grows up. And it sounded like he really knew what he wanted, and that he wasn't stopping at anything until he achieved his goal. I wonder how you could become educated in the area of Easter egg hunting, or cracker farming, or even being a cowboy. You know, I mean, that's even tough to come by. God knows we need more man guys in America today. This occupation infatuation lasted all of about a week with him, though. And after that, the next big growing up pursuit that he had, and I believe that this is his desire, even to this day, for the whole month, is to be a flying dinosaur when he grows up. He just keeps switching from thing to thing until he feels satisfied with where he is. His hopes and his dreams, his aspirations, they're all centered on what? They're on fulfilling his own desires. All he cares about is what's going to make Nathan satisfied. So I want to ask you, are you satisfied tonight? Are you truly satisfied? How would you like to be completely and utterly satisfied? Think about it. The deepest longing of your soul, the furthest reaching dream of your mind, take it as far as it'll go. How would you like to be satisfied? Everything fulfilled, everything satisfied. This guy named Blaise Pascal once said, he said, all men seek happiness. This is without exception. Whatever different means they employ, they all tend to this end. Some people think that money is the key to happiness. You guys have heard that, right? Money makes the world go round. I read this: money will buy a bed, but not sleep. It'll buy books, but not brains. Okay. Food, but not an appetite. A house, but not a home. Money will buy medicine, but not health. It'll buy amusement, but not happiness. It could buy finery, but not beauty. You could buy a crucifix, but not a savior. How many of you guys know who Bill Gates is? Okay. Bill Gates said in an ad conference this last month that he was fed up with being the richest man in the world because there's nothing good that comes from that. This is the most important thing, you guys. I wouldn't recommend that you leave him during this point. He said, I'm fed up with being the richest man in the world. There's nothing good that comes out of that. Surprised? I mean, how many of you actually, be honest, how many of you wish that you were in that spot? Okay, a few of you, all right. His house is large enough to sleep every single one of us here tonight times 50. What size would it be? Anybody want to guess tonight how many square feet his house is? I mean, my house that I live in, about 1,500 square feet. Bill Gates' house is 66,000 square feet. Just to give you an idea, this entire movie theater complex is about, in all 10 theaters, is about 30,000 square feet. Double that. Can you imagine having a home twice the size of this building? That would make you happy, right? A $113 million house that's dug into a hillside. Now, reportedly, behind Bill Gates' shower curtain lies a 4,500-pound slab of custom-cut granite. Do you know how much that costs? Me neither. In awe, those unbelievable words about being the richest man in the world again. Listen, there's nothing good that comes out of that. Don't believe it? Listen to this quote from O.J. Simpson from way back in 78. That's the last century for those of you that were, you know, don't know what that is. Long before the scandal that shocked the world back in 94, the day that I was married to my beautiful wife, he said this to People magazine. He said, I sit in my house in Buffalo and sometimes get so lonely, it's unbelievable. Life has been so good to me. I've got a great wife, good kids, money, my own health, and I'm lonely and bored. I often wondered why so many rich people commit suicide. Money sure isn't a cure-all. America today is roughly twice as rich as it was 50 years ago. In spite of each home having so many square feet and each family having so many cars and so on and so forth, we the people have actually declined in our happiness. Do you know that? The more money we've got, the less happy we are. Now, statistics tell us that the more we have, the more we worry. The more we have to worry about. The more money we make, the more money that we make, the more sorrow that we have. You may think that money is the answer to all of your problems. The average American, especially us in the younger generations, believe that somehow, despite all of the woes and worries and broken homes of the rich and the famous, that for them, it would be different. That for us, it would be different. If they can somehow be rich, then they would somehow achieve this happiness and this satisfaction. But I'm here to tell you tonight that wealth doesn't come from money. The Bible tells us that the blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and He adds no sorrow with it. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and He adds no sorrow with it. With the world's riches comes sorrow. Now, with all the sorrow and worry that go along with money, it's no wonder that Jesus said to His followers how hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. No, I'd do fine with that, you think, right? No sweat, just pour them on. I guess the Beatles were onto something. They sang, money can't buy me what? Love, right? Always searching, always striving, never satisfied and never happy. Does that describe you tonight? Are you continually filling yourself with things that feel good, but they always leave you feeling emptier than before? You may go to church. You may be a great student, straight A's. For me, a great student was anything above D's. But, you know, you may be doing well. You may look good on the outside. You may have the boyfriend or the girlfriend, and you may have all the great stuff going on. But you keep stuffing yourself with these things, and you just keep coming up empty on the other side. The elation and the excitement only last so long. And then you're still hungry and you're still thirsty. Maybe it's not money. Maybe it's relationships. Maybe you're obtaining some collection of some sort, music or coins or stamps or clothes or whatever it is. When I was a kid, it was actually cars. When I was 14, I had 3 cars, and it was just the way that it was for me. But you always seem to come up empty when the excitement wears off. God has the answer. You can be satisfied. Listen close to this. This is good news. You can stop searching tonight for the feeling of satisfaction, for the joy, for the peace within. The Word of God tells us in Psalm 37, this is going to be our key verse for tonight. Look at it close. It's been life-changing for me. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Read it with me one time. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. This is a promise that God gives to you, and He gives to me tonight. I know that He intends to keep it. The world around us is constantly telling us, hey, just follow your heart. Just follow your heart. Right? You heard that? How many of you heard that before? Just follow your heart. Churches sometimes, just follow your heart. But you know what? God's Word gives us a different story. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Do you want to follow something that's deceitful and desperately wicked? Maybe. Maybe you do. I did when I was your age. But it was a dead-end road. Well, that certainly sounds encouraging. Pastor Don, thank you. I'm just going to leave here all filled up and satisfied because you told me that I'm deceitful and desperately wicked. Keep listening. The good news is coming. You can be completely satisfied tonight. You can walk out of here tonight with a changed heart. God can and will do that for you if you'll let Him. You can be happy. But I guarantee you, I'm here to tell you, not by following your heart. Following the human heart is the one thing that I know for sure that will lead to emptiness and leave a miserable vacuum in the very heart that you're following. When God tells us to delight ourselves in the Lord, He's giving us the prescription for happiness, the medicine of satisfaction. Not satisfaction that fades and seems to elude us. God's satisfaction is eternal. It goes beyond our circumstances. It doesn't rely on riches or possessions with people. It doesn't rely on riches or possessions or relationships, with people to be at work in your life. God's satisfaction transcends all these things. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Do you believe that tonight? If you don't, keep listening. If you do, keep listening. What does it mean to delight yourself in the Lord? To delight myself in the Lord? Well, that sounds great. What does it mean? The word delight in this context, in the original Hebrew, I don't read Hebrew, but some guy told me this out of his book. It means to be soft. Delight means to be soft or pliable. That's literally the root word. To be soft or pliable. To be soft or pliable? Yeah. To be soft and pliable. Having a softness and a certain malleability or flexibility for what God wants. That His will is more important than mine. That His will, let that sink down in your heart for a second. That His will would be more important than your own. What does it mean to delight in the Lord? There's a young lady in our high school youth group who's a dancer. And she asked me this question. We were going over this very same scripture, the same passage, months back. And she posed the same question. What does it mean to delight in the Lord? I don't get it. Because you think it through and you're like, how do I delight in the Lord? I put it to her this way. She delights in dancing. She's a dancer, avid dancer. She delights in dancing. The big picture of it all. Yeah, practices are tough. The pain and the agony and the sore feet. By the way, have you ever seen a picture of a ballerina's feet? It's not very pretty, okay? Now, it's because it's a tough thing. You get up on your toes, it hurts, man. There's blood and guts everywhere. It's not that bad. But you know what I'm saying? It hurts. It's a painful thing. And I've looked at the feet of a devoted ballerina, and man, you can tell that they've been through some agony. And so this gal understood that. So her delight in dancing, a passion in her life, overrides her desire to quit when her feet hurt, or when she's tired, or when she's even sick. The big picture, the hope of being on stage, brings a joy and a smile, even in the times of grueling practice, when no one else is watching, all by herself. Because of the hope that she has in the big picture of the upcoming performance, of the next show. She what? She delights in the dance. She delights in the next time that she will tippy-toe across the stage. Even when she's practicing, even when no one else sees her. She delights. You get it? That's how I picture delighting in the Lord. And I wonder if you can see it too. See it in your mind's eye. Her focus was not on the here and now, not on the situation right in front of her, not on the practice, but it was on the then and there, the hope of the big picture. She denies herself. Maybe you play guitar. Maybe you ride dirt bikes. Maybe you play football. Maybe you're an artist. It's not always fun in the individual little situation, in the practice, in the honing of your skill. But you do it because you delight in the big picture. Your hope is not on the here and now, it's on the then and there. The show must go on. Delighting in the Lord is like that. Sometimes you don't feel like doing the right thing. Sometimes you don't feel like going to church or reading the Bible. Sometimes you don't even feel like getting out of bed. And chances are, there's someone here tonight that doesn't even feel like living anymore. The Christian, the follower of Christ, follows the Lord with a smile. Not because they have to, because they get to. It's a privilege to serve the Lord. It's such a privilege to follow Christ. And it's hard sometimes, but we get to. We can see the end of the road, the picture of what's been promised to us. There's hope at the end of the yellow brick road, right? You know the story. Because of this, they place more value, the Christian, on the will of God than on their feelings. He or she does the hard things, knowing that this is all for something so much bigger and so much more exciting than the one moment right in front of them. Do you know what I'm talking about? The focus of the believer in Jesus Christ, their hope is not here and now. It's on the what? The then and there. We do the work here and now, but there's a much greater hope than just the moment that we're in. Amen? Delight yourself in the Lord and He will what? He will give you what? The desires of your heart. Wow! The desires of my heart? Pastor Don, are you telling me that I'm going to end up with that Swedish swimsuit model because I delight in the Lord? Pastor Don, are you telling me that if I delight in the Lord, I'm finally going to come up with those winning lotto numbers? Right? It kind of sounds like that. I'll get that car and that boyfriend, that house on the hill, the mansion. I've got a lot of desires in my heart. I could go on forever, right? It kind of sounds like that, doesn't it? Delight yourself in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Doesn't it kind of sound like you'll just get whatever's in your heart? But I don't believe that's what He's saying, and I haven't found it to be that way in my life. It's kind of cool. Check it out. You need to know that if you give your heart to God tonight, and I'll give you an opportunity to do so in just a few minutes, He'll make a few changes. There's going to be a few changes. Some you won't be comfortable with, but they'll all be good. Every single one of them. God's good all the time. Now God promises us in His good word that if anyone is in Christ, He's a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Not some things. Not a few things. Not just the things. You know, all things have become new. In Christ. If anyone's in Christ, that is living in Him, dwelling in Him, moving in Him. If we are in Christ, you guys, God will make us into a new creature. Maybe you don't feel new tonight. Maybe you feel washed up. Maybe you feel dirty and old and run down, beat up and banged up by people around you. God wants to make you new. God wants to make you into a new creature. Old things have passed away. And not only that, but what? All things have become new. Everything. It even includes the desires of our hearts. If you surrender your heart to Jesus Christ tonight, yes, there will be a battle with the old you. That will still be there. The old lifestyle, no doubt about it. I'm not going to con you. I'm not going to try and trick you and tell you that if you give your life to Jesus tonight, now you can drive a Mercedes and everything will be, you know, hunky-dory. It's hard to follow Christ, man. There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. Living the life that Christ has called us to live means denying ourselves and following Him. But it's not empty. There's peace and hope and joy that comes from it. If you give your heart to Jesus, God says that your spirit comes to life, that you will be born again. And the new life in you, God Himself living in your heart, is greater than the old you. So you don't have to worry about that battle that'll take place if you give your heart to Jesus tonight. Don't worry about the battle. Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. God gives us that promise to believers that God is greater than any battle you'll ever come up against. But don't fear. Some will keep themselves from surrendering to God tonight because they feel that they're just too bad, that they've committed too many sins. There's no way God could accept them. Listen, I have great news for you tonight. Great news. God loves us so much, no matter where you are. He doesn't want us to wait. He doesn't ask us to clean up our act before we come to Him. It's not the way He operates. He wants to have a relationship with every single one of you tonight. Every single one. No matter how good you are, no matter how bad you are. He wants to be your Heavenly Father, to guide you, to have you jump on His lap, as it were, and to just sit and talk with Him, to just spend some time with Him. That's my Father. So passionate, so loving, so caring, so intimate. The Bible declares this awesome reality, and I hope that it eases your mind about coming to Jesus tonight. If you think that you're not worth it, if you think that you're too bad, that you've committed too many sins to come to Jesus, it says, but God demonstrates His love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God loves to give good gifts to His children. He loves to satisfy His kids. We don't have to wait to clean up our act before we can come to God. He sent His Son to die for you while you were still in your sins. God sent His Son to die for me while I was still in my sins, while I was a dirty, washed up wretch. That's when God saved me. Amen. He didn't say, hey, go clean up your filthy language and then come back and see me. He didn't say, you need to get rid of those lustful thoughts before you can even think about talking to me. He didn't say that. I came to Him broken down and thrashed and used up. And that's the way He took me. Boy, I got a good deal, didn't I? You can have that same deal too. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. God will, if you give your heart to Him, change it and fill it with new and holy desires. And He will fulfill them. Isn't that cool? Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. He's going to give you desires. Not just give you what you desire. He's going to give you new desires. He will give you pure and holy desires. And not just desires, but then He loves to satisfy them. He loves to give you pure and holy desires and then fulfill them and say, check that out. You're satisfied. Look at that. Isn't that great? And that's the way God wants you tonight. My God is a giver. My Lord loves to give. My Heavenly Father loves to satisfy. In fact, He wants to satisfy your soul right now, tonight. But there's this problem. All of mankind, all the way back to the Garden of Eden, has fallen into this trap of trying to find satisfaction for themselves, to find happiness their own way. God says in Proverbs 16:20, whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. Trusting in the Lord, then you'll be happy. Instead of trusting in God, most of us struggle with trusting in what? In ourselves. Isn't that true? In our senses, right? We look for fulfillment in other ways, don't we? In ways that will never bring it. Why will that never bring satisfaction? Because being satisfied becomes the most important thing to us. It's the end of all of our hopes. It seems that happiness and satisfaction always run away from us when that's what we're chasing. Listen close. It's kind of like this family dog we used to have. His name was Rudy. He was a little black and white terrier. He was a pistol of a dog. A little crazy guy. He would jump up on 6-foot fences and catch birds. As soon as he'd get out, though, as soon as he could wiggle his way out that gate, you guys got a dog like this? Okay? Pew, he was gone. He was so gone. And we'd chase him Our whole family would be out there driving around the neighborhood. We would cajole him. We would try and lasso him. We would manipulate him. We'd bring the food and the steak and the little jerky sticks. And he just kept running, man. He could care less. He was free. Then after we were tired out, we would stop chasing him. We'd go back home with our heads hung low. We'd walk in the door. And what happened next? You know the rest of the story. He'd turn around and come home and act like nothing ever happened. He'd walk in the door and go to his bowl and eat some food and drink some water and go lay down like nothing ever happened. Happiness, just like Crazy Rudy, seems to elude us if we chase it, make it our primary target. As long as we focus and chase after and manipulate and cajole, it keeps running farther and farther away. God does want you to be happy, though. I know it. But he knows that you have to get rid of the selfish desires and the motivations before you'll ever find it. Think about it. Kind of ironic, isn't it? You have to stop chasing happiness and satisfaction or you'll never get it. It's funny that David was talking about this, you know. He didn't know what my message was about. He was talking about this exact thing, and he was up here singing. Satisfied? Are you satisfied yet? Well, from the beginning, we've been trying to please ourselves instead of God. The Bible tells us that all of us have sinned and fall short of God's glory. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that's in Jesus Christ. That means we've missed the mark that God set for us to hit. He said, this is what I want you to do, and we missed it. We've fallen short of his will for our lives. And the penalty for our sins, so steep. There's no denying the severity of it. People say, well, that's really extreme that God would send somebody to hell for sinning. That's just, you know, I just can't understand. Well, we don't have to understand. It's just the way that it is. The penalty for our sins is very steep indeed. The payment we receive will last an eternity. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. But just as steep as the penalty of our sin, and even more so, is the steepness of God's grace. The steepness of sin leading down to an eternity separated from God. And the steepness of God's grace, even more so, his gift, his undeserved favor, leading up to an eternity of satisfaction and bliss with God in heaven. There's nothing better than that. We're created by God and for God, and the things that we've done wrong have separated us from him. And the only way back to him is to allow his Son, Jesus Christ, to pay the penalty for your sins. You guys all know John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not what? But have... Good job. But God did not send his Son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus also said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. And no man can come to the Father except through me. No one. Well, how do you get on the right road? How do you go through Jesus, as it were? How does one become a child of God, a new creation? It's through faith. No work that you or I or anyone else can ever do will save us. No work at all. We have to humble ourselves and repent or turn from our sins and allow God to have our heart. It's not what we do, though, that saves us. It's what we allow God to do on our behalf. It's his work, but we have to receive the gift that he offers. You could put it this way. Jesus paid a debt that he didn't even owe. All because we had a debt that we couldn't pay. Jesus died on the cross. He took the sins of the world on his shoulders. He rose again on the third day. Listen, you guys, God loves you so much. If you're here tonight and you're not satisfied, your soul's empty and you're searching for things that never seem to fill you up and leave you full, then I'm here to tell you that you can be satisfied, you can be filled up, and not only that, but you can be overflowing with great things. can do it tonight. You can do it right here, right now. The Lord loves you. You're broken. He wants to fix you. You're scarred. He wants to heal you. Your life's in shambles. He still wants it anyways. Whatever you've got, broken pieces, unrecognizable debris, whatever your life looks like, the Lord would say, just come unto me, all of you who labor, all of you who are heavy laden, I will give you rest for your souls. Are you here tonight and hungry? Jesus wants to satisfy you. He's the only one that ever could, that ever will. A couple of the guys from Remedy are going to come back up right now and start playing softly. And we're going to have a number of youth leaders and prayer counselors and whatnot available for you in the back area, maybe near the back corners there. There's not any real room up here on stage. But in a moment, I'm going to give you opportunity to just pray. You may not have an issue of salvation. Maybe you've already been saved. Maybe you already know the Lord. I would guess that most of you here, despite the fact that I know a lot of you, already know Jesus. But maybe there's something else in your life. Maybe you're just not sold out. Maybe you're just not giving it up to Him. Maybe you'd just like some prayer from somebody that you could just be strengthened and bolstered to be able to make it through and to be able to satisfy not yourself, but what God wants. Let me read you a quick poem. How many times have you heard someone say, if I had this money, I could do things my way? Little they know that it's so hard to find one rich man in 10 with a satisfied mind. Once I was winning in fortune and fame, everything that I dreamed for, to get a start in life's game. Suddenly it happened. I lost every dime, but I'm richer by far with a satisfied mind. Money can't buy back your youth when you're old, or a friend when you're lonely, or a love that's grown cold. The wealthiest person is a pauper at times compared to the man with a satisfied mind. When my life is ended, my time has run out, my trials and my loved ones, I'll leave them, no doubt. But one thing's for certain, when it comes my time, I'll leave this old world with a satisfied mind. I'll leave this old world with a satisfied mind. Will you tonight, when it comes your time to leave, will it be a satisfied mind that you leave with? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity tonight to just come here and hear these guys sing about your glory, to sing about pictures of heaven and of grace and of glory. Praise you, God, for that. Lord, if there be anybody here tonight that's living a life of emptiness, whose life is constantly filled with things but never filled up, Lord, would you show them clearly where the answer lies? Would you help them to delight themselves in you, to humble themselves and to give their heart to you tonight? And Lord, we pray for just each heart during this time of prayer, that you'd help each one of us to surrender completely to you. Now, as your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, not wanting to trick or manipulate anybody, I just want to ask you a simple question tonight. Have you come here tonight and your life is that emptiness that I've described, seeking after things, going after your own plans, just got to be a cracker farmer. You just got to be a cowboy man guy. But it's just not filling you up. That emptiness in your heart and your soul feels so large. The only thing that's ever going to fill that up is Jesus Christ. So first of all, I'd like to ask, is there anyone here tonight that would say yes to Jesus? That would say yes to allowing Him to come into their life, to fill them up, to overflowing, to satisfy, to save? If there's anybody here tonight that would like to do that, I'd like to ask you, well, no one's looking around, just me. I'm just looking, and of course God sees you. Would you simply just lift up your hand? We'll pray together if that's you. You'd like to receive Christ. Anyone here tonight? Lift up your hand high so I can see. We'd love to pray with you. Don't be ashamed. Don't worry about who's around you. Awesome. So, what we're going to do now, we got a couple of the guys from Remedy Driver in the back. The guys from Speakeasy are back there. I think my wife is back there. Some of our youth leaders and some people. We're just going to have a time of prayer for the next several minutes. Why don't I get everybody to go ahead and stand up right now? Let's stand up. Get up on your feet. During this time of prayer, I want you to feel free to move around, not to talk to your neighbor, not to be getting, you know, signatures from Remedy Drive. You'll have a chance to do that afterwards. I see the pens coming out right now. Okay. This is a time of prayer. Jesus said, "Let my Father's house be called a house of prayer." So there are several people in the back that would love to pray with you. Would love to lead you to the Lord. They would love to just push you in that direction. So these guys are going to just play for a little bit. I'm going to sing too. A little bit of singing to do too. Yeah. And they're just going to sing and play a few songs here. And we're just going to do it in silence. A little quiet music. Let this be a time of prayer. I'd also encourage you to find somebody near you. To go ask somebody else in the building, "Hey, can I pray with you?" Maybe a friend next to you just doesn't want to pray with anybody by themselves. But listen, I would love it if every single person in here went and found somebody else to pray with. Go find a leader, to go find anyone, and just pray. If you'd like to pray with me, then come on down. I would love to talk with you too. Father, we give you this time. Let your glory shine around us. This evening, Lord, be the first night of the rest of the life of each person here. And we look forward to what you have. In Jesus' name. All right, go ahead and disperse. Go find somebody to pray with. Find a neighbor. Find one of the guys in the back, one of the gals in the back. Do that now. I would love to pray with you too.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see the beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for love's sake became poor. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. Never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. I'm accepted, you were condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit lives within me, because you died and rose again. I'm forgiven, because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me, because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be? You, my King, would die for me. Amazing love, and I know it's true.
Sure that you find someone to pray with.
It's my joy to honor you.
Don't leave yet. We're going to have some time with Remedy afterwards.
All I do to honor you. Thank you.
about to conclude our time here. Some are still praying and seeking counsel and just being ministered to right now. I'd like to ask you guys to just be sure and stick around and hang out for a little while. We got some time. Hang out in the lobby. Go sit out there and just talk to one another. Just talk about the things of the Lord and the pictures that the Lord's given you tonight of His kingdom. Talk about those things that you need to surrender in your life. Have someone hold you accountable for those things that you're supposed to give up. God's so good, amen. There's a bunch of CDs out there. There's a bunch of hats and shirts and amazing, amazing stuff. Ask you to buy it all up. Make them have to send back to Lincoln for some more stuff to sell. Buy it all up and support these guys for what they're doing. They're bringing God's glory right here into this theater, right here into your home. So good. It's been such a blessing having them. We so appreciate you guys. So, Father, thank you for this night. We give it to you. We lift it up to you, Lord, as an offering, as a sacrifice to you. In Jesus' name, everybody shouted, amen. All right, let's go hang out with those guys. Don't take off right away. They'd love to talk. They'd love to chat. God bless you. We're still available for prayer if you need it. We'd love to pray with you. Good night.